I'm Bo.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Jubilation in both Israel and Gaza. That's the sound in Khan Yunis in Gaza as Israel and Hamas agree to a pause in their two-year war. Hamas agreeing to release the remaining hostages in exchange for Palestinian prisoners held in Israeli detention. That is phase one of the peace proposal put forth by President Trump. Los Angeles officials announcing the arrest of a man in connection with starting the Palisades fire. California Governor Gavin Newsom.
This suspect is ultimately held accountable. That at least, I think, calms the fear and anxiety that some people felt around what and who was responsible and how this actually occurred.
President Trump's deployment of troops to Illinois at the center of a court hearing today over Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker's request to block them from coming. Federal government shutdown grinding into day nine. No public negotiations underway. This is ABC News.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
Several citizens again voiced their objections to a development being built at Story Field at last night's Richland Center City Council meeting. The consensus was that they would like to see it go to referendum to let the people decide. Pursuant to the Common Council's approval of the Story Field pre-development agreement on September 24th, a development agreement for the 8-duplex, 16-unit, zero-step housing project. The developer has completed a preliminary review and deemed the draft acceptable. The city and the developer will continue to work together to finalize the agreement. Key details of the agreement include recognizing the substantial private investment and infrastructure obligations and to incentivize this housing project. The city will sell the land for $1. Planning and engineering will begin immediately, with site construction to start by May 15, 2026. The developer must complete the project within 2 years of construction. A performance clause requires payment in lieu of taxes if the project is not completed within that time frame. The developer is responsible for constructing all required public infrastructure in compliance with all applicable standards and permits. Three options were considered by the council. Option A, to retain only the stormwater management area of approximately a half acre with no space for public use. Option B, to retain the stormwater management area plus public use space of approximately an acre. Or option C, to retain the stormwater management area plus public use space of approximately 1.4 acres. The council unanimously approved moving forward with option C.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
Game four, Cubs and Brewers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, there will be a game four tonight in Chicago. The Brewers losing to the Cubs last night, 4-3. Chicago scoring all of their runs in the first inning, keeping their playoff hopes alive on the brink of elimination. Cubs manager Craig Counsell.
It's fun and stressful in the same sentence and the same light, and I think you feel both emotions a lot.
Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
Both teams come out firing. You know, that's what it's about. They know us. We know them. There's a lot of emotion in the game, and it says something for both teams, really.
NBA, the Bucks host the Pistons in preseason basketball tonight. Doc Rivers asked about that ESPN report that the Bucks discussed trading Giannis to the Knicks.
It was a conversation where a team called, and John has been saying no now for 11 years. I don't know why this is a news story, you know, but I guess it is.
That's Doc Rivers with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
107.7 WRCE, news from the center and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
It is going to be mostly sunny today, and it could get a little breezy at times here as we head into the afternoon. Our high right around 67 today. Tonight, partly cloudy in the evening. Could see a few showers late tonight. Our low 47 tomorrow. Partly cloudy to mostly cloudy with a high near 71. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 34.
Hey, everybody, Todd Allball here. If you've been to a Wisconsin sports event, especially a football game, you've heard his voice.
First and 10, Wisconsin.
That's Badger Public Address announcer Mike Mankey. Join us Friday afternoon at 2:30 as we catch up with the Badger legend during UW Homecoming Week. How does he come up with those iconic calls?
Run, Dane!
And what are his best Badger moments? Join us for a conversation with Mike Mankey Friday at 2:30 on the Todd Allball Show.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones? Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Todd Allbaugh.
If you're a Windows 10 user, tune in next time as we'll talk about the potential end for support, and we're giving away tickets to No Packers, No Life, the new Packers movie, next time.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. And now, live from Dallas, a city with so much traffic, you're always an hour away from Dallas, even when you're in Dallas.
So
here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Thank you, Parker Olson. It is 7:06. Nice to have you back here live from Dallas on this Thursday morning, October 9th, a getaway day, I hope. Yeah. With that whole government shutdown thing, it feels like this is the day that either some control tower people or TSA people in the Dallas Metroplex are going to be like, you know what?
Just to mess with you in particular.
No. This just happens to be, you know, that. So Tony puts up on YouTube, I vote to keep Parker as the intro guy.
Oh,
all
boy.
Right, well, we've talked about switching it up here.
We have.
You know, Buddy Don Rue does it for a time, and Parker does it on these trips. And I've tried to get some celebrity guest introduction people as well. So,
yeah.
We'll work on that. You know what? We could actually invite the listeners to do that as well, because we have that voice note feature.
Yes.
Civic Media app. So here's the thing. You write it down. You use the voice note feature. If you don't like it, you start over. Start a new one. Maybe throw a little punchline in there as well. You know, keep it clean, of course, because it's got to go on the radio. But we are very much open to that. We are very open to crowdsourcing the show intros.
Yes, I would love to hear from Tony every day in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And Tony says, two birds with one stone just made Parker a celebrity. Oh, he was a celebrity long before this. I mean, around Whitewater, he never has to buy himself a drink.
You know? That was Whitewater Woj. Come on.
Whitewater Woj. I forgot about that. So you can join us using the Civic Media app. You can use that voice note feature. You can send us a text message as well. Now that we're done with the text to win contest for a little while, that's coming back though. I mean, these text to win contests, they're just getting increasingly popular, and we wanted to thank, I know this week yet, I have not officially thanked everybody who sent in texts during our show as part of the contest. I mean, look, I'm no Todd Alba.
No.
Okay. I'm no Jane Matinair. But y'all did pretty respect. See, I'm falling into the Texas stuff already. Y'all did pretty respectable for being willing to text a radio show at 6-7 o'clock in the morning and enter a contest. So thanks to all of you for doing that. I appreciate it very much. So you can now text in any old thing that you want. You can use the voice note feature. You can get in the comment sections on YouTube and Facebook. If you're only hearing us on the radio and you're ever wondering, what do these goofballs look like? You just head over either on Facebook or YouTube, either for the Up North News pages or the Civic Media pages, and you can see what we do there, and you can put things in the comment sections, and you can see what other people put in the comment sections and say to them, you should get a life. You should not be writing such mean stuff this early in the morning. If you don't like the show, turn the dial. But we've got people that live to put little comments like that in there. So
yeah,
I think they'll be back a little later on this hour, because we will have Congressman Mark Pocan joining us to talk about the government shutdown and also talk about the town hall meetings that he's been holding all across Western Wisconsin. And you're saying, wait a minute, Mark Pocan is not the congressman for Western Wisconsin. No, he's not. He's the congressman for Southwestern and parts of South Central Wisconsin. But Derek Van Orden's not doing any, so somebody's got to come meet the people and take their questions about all the looming cuts to healthcare programs and things like that. And so Mark Pocan's been doing that, so we'll talk to him about the shutdown and about the ongoing effort by Republicans to feel like, well, if they just say enough times that it's a Democrat shutdown, you know, that people will believe that. But people understand math. And the math says that Republicans have the White House, they have the House, they have the Senate. It should be their job to, you know, govern and pass a budget, and they can't. They can't agree amongst themselves, and so they need Democratic votes. And Democrats say, fine, we'll give you some votes. How about you put back some of those health care cuts that you put in earlier this year? And Republicans say, no, we don't want to talk with you. Fine, then pass your own damn budget. Go on, do it. You have the majority. You have the votes to do this if you could just agree among yourselves. But it's always easier to blame other people when you can't do your own work. I'm listening to Ron Johnson do it again this week, and the stuff that he's saying, just the absolute garbage about how, you know, Democrats hate America and that's why they don't want there to be a but. How about you just work within your own party to get something done? That's all you can do is just lash out at other people. And it's not just Ron Johnson, and it's not just Derek Van Orden doing that. It's Wisconsin's own Sean Duffy, former congressman from up north, who's now the U.S. Transportation Secretary. And on social media yesterday, he put up the little applause emoji as he was applauding Florida Governor Ron DeSantis for video from South Beach in Miami that showed some construction equipment being used to dig up some pavement on a city street. Not just any pavement on a city street. It was a crosswalk on a city street. And not just any crosswalk. It was a crosswalk that was painted in rainbow colors. And that really hurt Sean Duffy's fifis. He just could not bear the thought of it. Remember, he's the one who said, after becoming transportation secretary, that these rainbow crosswalks that let the LGBTQ community know that they do not deserve to be marginalized, they do not deserve to be threatened, this is as much their community as anybody else's. But that hurts people like Ron DeSantis and Sean Duffy. It hurts their manliness. And apparently the way to beef up that manliness is to, you know, show construction equipment literally digging up, not painting over the crosswalk, not doing anything else to get rid of the paint job, but to literally dig it up is how they got their jollies. And a lot of right-wing politicians, sharing that video, and Sean Duffy doing the same thing when he added the applause emojis. And you know, the responses, obviously there have been some predictable responses from the right, but I do like the way that some other folks responded to this video. For example, one post says, the next time you think art doesn't matter, just think about how scared in 2025 fascists are about sidewalk chalk. Another says, I'm a straight man who walked across a rainbow crosswalk, and somehow I survived without bursting into flames or crying about my masculinity. Weird, right? Yeah, I know. And, you know, on it goes about, again, the people who love to invent the word snowflake are themselves the ones who are acting the most snowflake-like. And one other post I'm seeing here kind of has the album cover from Now That's What I Call Music. And it says instead, now that's what I call a distraction from the Epstein files, which, again, I don't know how you can deny that. That just seems to be where we are now, that we're looking for anything right now, of course, with the healthcare part of the government shutdown debate. What do we keep hearing from Republicans, from President Trump and others, that it's all about, you know, illegals, you know, getting healthcare, which is so off the mark. And again, I think most people already understand that undocumented immigrants aren't signing up for Medicaid benefits and other things. They can't. They're not documented. They would risk being deported. The things that are being cut are not cutting healthcare for undocumented immigrants. It's cutting the healthcare of hardworking American families under the guise of hurting those undocumented immigrants, those illegals. So you got to go after the LGBTQ. You got to go after the illegals. You got to go after DEI. But in going after diversity, equity, and inclusion, you end up going after a whole bunch of other folks who get caught up in your, you know, race-based politics, like deaf-blind children in Wisconsin. Remember, we talked the other day about how a program for deaf-blind children is having its federal funding cut, again, in the name of wokeness, that anything that singles out groups for what they consider special treatment is getting cut. Well, the update on that story now is that that particular program, the Wisconsin Deafblind Technical Assistance Program, has had 1 year of its funding restored. At the heart of it is that the grant money that would help these deafblind children in Wisconsin being routed through the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction. Well, the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction does have language in its grant applications that says that where it can, it does try to give a percentage of its grant funds to either women-owned businesses, minority-owned businesses, businesses owned by veterans or by the disabled. And apparently all of these groups do not deserve special treatment. Well, really? Veterans too? And the disabled too? That's what happens when you go after, you know, the gays, or you go after, you know, other racial groups that you feel like are getting special treatment, is you end up lumping in all kinds of other folks who in your mind probably do deserve some special treatment, but you've managed to throw the baby out with the bathwater. And all of this is to say, why are we getting so caught up in destroying rainbow crosswalks? Why are we getting so caught up in cutting funding for groups that you have some kind of a petty grudge with, when we could instead all be governing together? Instead of cutting the enhanced tax credits for the Affordable Care Act, which is at the heart of this government shutdown, we could be saying, how do we improve the healthcare situation for Americans? We hear all the time from the Ron Johnsons of the world about how bad the Affordable Care Act is. But here's the thing. They've had 15 years. Ron Johnson's been around now for 15 years. He got elected the same time as the blowback from the Affordable Care Act when it first passed. He and others have had every opportunity to do more to improve healthcare. And yet all we've heard year after year after year after year is how they can cut healthcare to regular Americans. And it's not working. And so now they look for the other ways to call the, you know, to create distractions from it. So they're still working to cut your healthcare. They're keeping the government shut down to cut your healthcare, but they're trying so hard to pin it on undocumented immigrants or DEI or, you know, open borders or whatever other kind of stuff that they want to make up. And poll after poll has shown that Americans are not buying this. And now we're facing, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, the prospect of things like air travel being delayed and other things not happening as more federal employees are furloughed and threatened with not getting back pay. Every government shutdown that has been caused by Republicans has blown up in their faces because they keep forgetting that American taxpayers, while they're divided on many things, while they're divided on many issues, do agree that because they pay taxes, government should work efficiently and effectively. And if you're just there to shut it all down, you're wasting their money. And most Americans don't like that. We'll talk to Congressman Mark Buchanan about this in about 15 minutes. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
During Medicare's open enrollment, it's common to receive mailers and see TV commercials that say you're missing out on some benefits. Before you respond to these ads, turn to Wisconsin's Senior Medicare Patrol, here to help you prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Don't be misled into enrolling in a plan that doesn't meet your health needs or cover your medications. Visit the Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol website at smpwi.org.
Keeping you connected to your local community with real news and great conversation. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
The fall agriculture tourism season is underway, and from apple orchards to pumpkin patches, it's a great time to travel across the state. But have you ever thought about camping on a farm? There is a push to make a new law allowing farmers to host up to 3 paying campers without a license. Supporters say it's needed to help diversify their incomes.
To allow people to put a tent up in a pasture and experience stargazing, stay overnight in the pasture, and have rustic camping. When they're overnight for farm stays, pick up the eggs in the morning, have a farm breakfast.
That's Sheila Everhart with the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association. You can learn more, including where to go this fall, at the website WIAGtourism.com. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
My name's John Driscoll, proud member of the Patriotic Millionaires. When I was CEO at CareCentrix, I doubled entry-level wages. The impact? Productivity went up, turnover went down, and the company was successful. When employees are off the clock, they're real consumers, the consumers that drive the economy with their spending. By paying employees a fair wage, we're actually helping out all of us in giving our economy the best chance to succeed. I'm John Driscoll. I'm a patriotic millionaire, and I approve this message.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at score.org.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Bo Henricks, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning.
We're talking about the Richland School District, and Steve, we're getting into the month of October. This is kind of where you really hit the ground running and dig in the school days, don't you?
Yeah, it really is. This is what I would call our first of our two real grinds, right, that the school district has, or that all schools have, right, from the time after homecoming, and so ours happened, of course, last week. For some schools, it happened 2 weeks ago, and for others, it might be going on this week or even next, but from that time until Thanksgiving, right, that's a grind for students. They're really, you know, honing in, and staff too, for that matter, really honing in on their craft in the classroom, really getting into their curriculum, and really a lot of learning takes place. And then there's a little bit of it's not like schools just take off from Thanksgiving to Christmas, but it feels like it's a short run from Thanksgiving to Christmas. Most students can manage that, right? And then when you come back after the first of the year, there's a short run from January 2nd. Third, whatever the day is they come back, until the end of the semester around January 20th. So you got a couple of short runs there. And then that's really when the second grind starts from mid-January until spring break, especially on years where you don't get a lot of snow days, right? And I know that there's school districts around the state that go to virtual days on snow days, you know, and I've never been a big proponent of that unless you just have a crazy abnormal winter, because I do think it's important for students to just get a snow day, right? And be able to go out and enjoy the weather and the snow. And if you're stuck doing school virtually, not only do you have accessibility problems, but I think that that's that can, be tough on students. So obviously sometimes you have to think about that if you just get a lot of snow days. But that second grind can get broken up, I guess is my point. But this grind here from now until Thanksgiving, unlikely that we're going to have a lot of snow days. There's not a lot of scheduled days off. Our calendar with the early outs on Wednesday don't provide a lot of teacher in-service days, and so students typically would get in-service days off. So it's basically every day from now until Thanksgiving coming to school, with the exception of our parent-teacher conferences coming up on the 22nd. So students and staff will have to be locked in and ready to go for this first grind, but it's also a time when there's a lot of improvement that can be made and a lot of good friendships that are made and a lot of good, cool, exciting things in the classroom and in extracurricular activities that take place as well.
As fast as the first month or so has gone, Thanksgiving will be here before we know it, basically.
It will be, you know, and I was just over the weekend, I was curious to see, like, what's the average first snowfall in Wisconsin? It's October 28th, and so to think that, you know, we're on October 8th now, so within 20 days, within average, we're going to have snow, and that's crazy to think, especially with the week that we had last week. Hopefully we get a little later snow. I mean, I love snow, and I'd love to be outside, and but I like it in moderation, right? Right?
Yes, like, exactly.
I don't want to get 12 inches on one day or over the course of a couple of days and then not have any for 2 months. Just nice moderation. But it won't be long, really. The evenings are getting cooler. And again, before the end of the month, we'll be probably likely having some snow in the air. It might not stick, but snow in the air. And Halloween, and you know, then you're into November, and then you've got a couple weeks before Thanksgiving, and it really will be here before you know it.
Yeah, you call me from time to time when you have bad weather, but you didn't call me that much the last couple of years.
I guess John Bosworth has kind of taken over that role, but we've been fortunate the last couple of years, just been the right amount. Of course, you know, 3 or 4 years ago it seemed like we just got hammered with snow and ice, you know, and all of those things in the winter that we're just calling and having delays. But the average school year we tend to have about 3 delays or early outs and about 3 or 4 snow days. That's kind of a typical year. That's kind of what we build our calendar around, maybe have an extra day of I don't want to say fluff, but an extra day of learning opportunities there should we have an extra one. But more than that, and we probably got to look at ways to be making it up, and less than that, and you know, it can be problematic for kids because then they're into that grind every single day, but they also get a lot of good continuity in learning.
The annual meeting is coming up for the district, isn't it?
Yes. Every school district, public school in Wisconsin, is required to have an annual meeting sometime between July 1st and October 31st. Okay. And so ours is scheduled for October 20th. The annual meeting, Phil, is a unique meeting. It's not a meeting of the school board. It's actually a meeting of the stakeholders of the school district. So all community members, if they're a resident of the Richland School District, are invited to not only attend but participate in the annual meeting. And so there's a variety of things that by state statutes take place at the annual meeting that have to take place, and resolutions that are set forth by the tax holders. First of all, our annual meeting starts at 6:30. Okay, so that's something that can't be changed. That's set by last year's annual meeting. One of the last agenda items that is at each annual meeting is to set the date and time and location for the next annual meeting. So that's locked in. It's on Monday, October 20th, starting at 6:30 in the Richland Center High School IMC, where our traditional meetings are at. I will call the meeting to order, and the first thing that will need to happen is that the stakeholders, the folks that are there, will need to elect a chairperson to run the meeting. Oftentimes, it's our school board president, but it doesn't have to be. It could be any resident of the Richland School District that is nominated and accepts that nomination and is voted on. But again, oftentimes, it's our school board president. But it's not a meeting of our school board. And then we will go through, there's some general district reports as it just general highlights of what happened in our district in the 24-25, kind of a recap, if you will, as well as a budget presentation. And that's the official budget presentation by our business office, our business official, John Bosworth. There's budget publications that will be coming out in the Richland Observer and posting in some public places. There's a budget presentation. And then, again, by law, there's the opening of the budget hearing. And so they will actually have a public hearing where the public can ask questions on our school district budget and get answers from our from our business official or from business administration. There's no action that takes place. It's just a hearing, not just. It's a very valuable part and a way for our community to be informed. And then they close the hearing. And then there's a variety of resolutions that take place, very formal, a very informal process, but formal in terms of that they need to be done. One of those things, as I mentioned, is setting the date of the annual meeting for next year.
You've been listening to WRCE's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Bo Henricks.
News from the Center, WRCE.
107.7 WRCE News from the Center.
And home to Matt and Air on Air weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
Farmers might not want to count on all the money being discussed in federal aid to offset soybean export losses. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Thursday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Chuck Grassley, senator from Iowa, says when you start adding up the numbers of what's available and the numbers of what's being discussed, the two don't necessarily meet.
All we hear is from the administration on $10 to $14 billion, so the final figure hasn't even been agreed upon. And then there's only $4 billion in the CCC. And they said there'd have to be two tranches of it, some of it coming from money available right now, and then the fund would have to be supplemented by the Congress of the United States.
So no solid answers on the potential for federal aid specifically targeting soybean growers that have been knocked out of the Chinese market. That word from the very senior Iowa senator, Chuck Grassley, who at 92 years of age is the oldest sitting U.S. senator in our history. Markets are next.
How does a soybean become a Dairyland seed difference maker? It starts in the labs of Corteva Agriscience, where Enlist E3 technology is designed to fight the toughest weeds for the greatest yield potential. Then it's hand-selected by Dairyland seed agronomists to be the ideal fit for Midwestern soils and conditions. Finally, it's tested on acres by farmers like you to ensure it's proven to outperform. It's a long road, but the only way to make a difference. Find your soybean difference maker at DairylandSeedSoybeans.com.
On a dairy, decisions are never made in a vacuum. Your products, technologies, protocols, they're all connected. Or at least they should be. Introducing Empower Dairy from Merck Animal Health, the only full solution portfolio in the dairy industry. Empower is more than just powerful identification, monitoring, and biopharma tools. It's about how they work together to eliminate guesswork and solve specific problems. Learn how at m-power-dairy.com.
On Wednesday, the barrel cheese remained unchanged. 40-pound block cheese was up a quarter of a cent, 173 and three quarters, while AA butter dropped a penny and three quarters down to $1.65 a pound. November class three milk that goes into cheese is up four, $16.97. Right now, December new crop corn's unchanged, $4.22. November new crop beans down 2.5 at $10.27. July wheat also unchanged at $5.51 a bushel. So just a quick snapshot of where the numbers stand rolling into a Thursday trade session. Hey, sign up for our daily e-newsletter and you won't miss a thing during the busy harvest season. You can do that at MidwestFarmReport.com. While you're there, think about downloading our brand new app available on either Play Store. Midwest Farm Report, again, what you look for. I'm Pam Yonke.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
It is going to be mostly sunny today, and it could get a little breezy at times here as we head into the afternoon. Our high right around 67 today. Tonight, partly cloudy in the evening. Could see a few showers late tonight. Our low 47 tomorrow. Partly cloudy to mostly cloudy with a high near 71. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I'm joined by UW Law Professor Josh Braver, an expert in civil-military relations. We discuss the growing National Guard deployments across our country. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You know, you can stay up to date on things we're covering at Up North News by subscribing to our newsletters 6 days a week. They come out now, Monday through Friday. Ellie Bordeaux puts those together. And then I've got a politically themed one, kind of a week in review on Sunday mornings. The newsletter today from Ellie certainly leads with the note of the Brewers losing to the Cubs yesterday, but have a chance to win tonight. She also has a story in there about how Eau Claire County is starting a new program to help coach people on recycling and knowing what goes where so that all that recycling actually can get recycled and used properly. And so again, to learn more, sign up for our newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com. On a news matter where people saying, well, wait, how come you haven't said anything about the ceasefire deal between Israel and Hamas and the prisoner swap and everything else? Only because, again, at the I will plead guilty to being old and curmudgeonly. I hope it all works. I want there to be peace. I want them to, figure it all out, not have the terrorist attacks, not have any more bombings and death. I'll believe it as it comes together. So it's not that I'm not happy. It's not that it's not a discussion topic worth having. I wish them well. I just, again, the proof is always in the pudding, and let's see how things go from this deal that they've allegedly worked out. I'm putting more of my effort into domestic politics and especially this shutdown that, again, Republicans have the majorities. They could pass a budget. They choose not to in order to protect those health care cuts, and they're not inviting Democrats to negotiate. Democrats like Congressman Mark Pocan, who joins us now from Wisconsin, where he's been touring around the state, and touring by and large the second congressional district, because the guy in the third congressional district seems to have had a problem getting around the district. Congressman Mark Pocan had joined us. I don't know if you froze up or not. Congressman, are you hearing me? I think we might have lost our connection with him. So I'm going to just make this little adjustment here. There he goes. And we should see him click back in just a moment. Like I said, we had him on there, and then it looked like the camera shot froze. So hopefully we'll see the congressman again and get into what he's been doing this week. Again, as he noted, it's his third week back in Wisconsin, 3 weeks where they're not doing any of the public business that they could be doing. They're also not swearing in, for example, new members. We mentioned that there's a new member of Congress elected from Arizona. Speaker Mike Johnson not even holding what's called a pro forma session, a very brief session, to swear in this new member of Congress. Well, Johnson says it's Democrats' fault that as soon as Democrats, reopen the government, again, they don't have the majority. But once Democrats reopen the government, they'll swear in this newly elected Democratic member of Congress. A reporter pointed out to Speaker Mike Johnson that, in the last government shutdown, you held pro forma sessions to swear in newly elected Republican members. That's just a distraction, said Speaker Johnson, and moved on to the next thing. Everything is a distraction with them. No, this is the distraction is from doing things like, putting the Epstein files out there finally so that we can figure out why was the president of the United States mentioned in there. So we'll see if Congress can maybe get its act together, and if Speaker Mike Johnson can finally bring them back into session. Congressman Pocan, we've reestablished a connection with him, and he joins us now. Congressman, how are you?
Good. Living in rural America, as many of your listeners know, I'm now working off of my phone, which has got a couple bars, but You know, it sure would be nice if we had something like rural broadband everywhere in Wisconsin.
Wouldn't it, though? Wouldn't it? I mean, and to do that, of course, you'd need a working federal budget, which is where we are at all this. So, I mean, we've gone through this ad nauseum. We've established that Republicans have the majority and they could be doing something about this. And yet, Congressman, from Speaker Johnson, Senator Ron Johnson and others, Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy again yesterday, working so hard to label this as some kind of a Democratic shutdown. And they can read polling. They know Americans understand who's at fault on this and that they don't believe them. How much longer do they think they can keep up this facade?
You know, I don't know. I don't quite get their game plan because it changes almost daily a little bit on their messaging, especially at the White House level. But last week I got 85 calls all week about the shutdown. We were getting up to 500 calls a day when President Trump was stealing funds from nonprofits earlier this year through rescissions. And this year, I have gotten 14,435 calls so far on healthcare. So I think I know what people are really watching, not, you know, the shenanigans of the Republicans trying to make some political point in Washington, but they understand that in the next couple of weeks, we're going to get our new rate increases because of the big ugly law for the Affordable Care Act. We're also getting group plan rate increases that they had to factor in that law. And, you know, just to give you one example, I talked to an employer Friday night who said they got their new rate increases for next year, 41% increase. And we got people on the Affordable Care Act that we've been told statewide, the average for this demographic, but a couple in their early 60s making $85,000 statewide, we'll see about a $17,000 increase next year in health insurance premiums through the Affordable Care Act because of the Republican action through the big ugly law. So whether it be the $500 billion cut to Medicare, whether it be everyone's rates going up, whether it be people going to be kicked off of Medicaid after the election in November next year, or the very real effects in the next couple of weeks with people on the Affordable Care Act, people get what's a priority. It's their health care, and it's not, you know, whatever game it is that, you know, Mike Johnson and Donald Trump are trying to play.
And if I can just for a moment linger on that one group that you mentioned, maybe because I belong to it. But it, look, we can say a lot about retirees and we can say a lot about young adults, young families, college students, farmers. There's no shortage of constituencies. But we did have a story from Up North News reporter Selena Heller earlier this week, a woman in La Crosse who was getting rather emotional, talking about these looming health insurance premium increases because they're in the demographic of people in their late 50s, early 60s. They are too young for Medicare, and they've just been waiting and waiting to get on Medicare because they work for a place that doesn't offer health insurance, or, you know, the health insurance is completely unaffordable, or they are self-employed and they are just waiting. But in the meantime, at least we have the Affordable Care Act marketplace to get them there. But that group in particular, some are realizing how tough it's going to be. Others, like you said, they're a week or two or three away from getting a notice and getting the sticker shock of their lives.
Yeah, the 58 to 64 demographic is in the worst place. On if you're on the Affordable Care Act, those are going to be some of the biggest rate increases. We've been told up to $24,000 you could see in Wisconsin. The average will be more about $17,000 for people in that demographic. But everyone is going to get that. And the other thing that I should mention, because you know obviously the Eau Claire area well, I was just up there and, you know, they lost their two hospitals, 73,000 people, no hospitals. You can't even call that a rural hospital when you have 73,000 people, but it still is by definition. You know, they, in the big ugly law, because there so many people are going to lose health insurance, that's uncompensated care. You don't not get sick. You still go to the hospital. That's going to cost about $434 billion across the country. They put a little Band-Aid on this gaping wound of $50 billion. They're going to cover one out of $9. But when you don't cover one out of $9, you're going to have hospitals and nursing homes closing down across the country. In Wisconsin, one of the three that's targeted is up in Osseo. It's the Mayo Clinic Oak Ridge facility up there. And, you know, you've got people like Derek Van Orden in Congress who recently wants to pull away all the federal funding away from the Mayo Clinic, as well as the city of Eau Claire and the village of Ellsworth and other people, because they've somehow said something he doesn't like on the internet. And, you know, it's a pretty scary time given, you know, people, you know, most people think about, can they afford their mortgage or rent? Do they have health care for their family? Can they maybe take a family vacation? And if we're pulling away a real economic, you know, necessity for people, it's a scary time for people.
What does it say then that somebody like a Congressman Derek Van Orden or even the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, you know, saying, don't hold these town halls, you know, they love to tar the people, their own constituents who are going to show up as somehow being like paid agitators or something. And so that you've gone through the third congressional district, Derek Van Orden's district, to do these town halls instead. Is there any way that this works positively for people like Congressman Van Orden?
Not if they don't listen to their constituents. And if you don't have town halls, you're not really listening to your constituents. So because we had time when they canceled votes this week, you know, my whole calendar was in Washington. So we, with about 48 hours roughly notice, scheduled 4 town halls in Derek's district, in Richland Center, in Viroqua, La Crosse, and Eau Claire. People showed up in all of them, as well as the media, because they don't see their member of Congress talking about this stuff. And, you know, I always use the Wisconsin smell test. You know, if he really did such a good thing with the big ugly law, and this is such a good fight over the shutdown, you'd want to go to every county in your district and brag about what you did and what you're doing. And instead of doing that, you're hiding in your basement. I mean, people get that you don't have a message when that's the case. So, you know, the rumor is now they may pull next week. We're already trying to assess, do I go into another district or should I find 3 more communities in the Western Wisconsin district? Because Derek is obviously one of the I guess, biggest chickens in our delegation, because he's never done an open public town hall in the 3 years he's been in office. But, you know, it's a higher hurt in the third district than in my district on what's going to happen on the Affordable Care Act. When you look at the actual numbers people are going to have. And I think, you know, people just have to understand that their member of Congress is actually giving them lies about what this is about. And I'm going around doing truth telling on it.
Congressman Mark Buchanan is our guest, talking about the government shutdown. And again, their hook, if you will, is that all of these cuts that they've made are all about making sure that health care benefits can't go to undocumented immigrants. And they use just blatantly, you know, racist lines about, you know, if you're an American citizen waiting for, you know, the ER, and there's some immigrant there who's going to get their health care first, blah, blah, blah. Well, first off, you don't know that that's an immigrant. They may be a citizen just the same as you, just not the same skin color. But again, can you talk about just how much of federal health care actually does go to undocumented immigrants?
Yeah, well, first of all, let me say the cuts to healthcare in general, they did the big ugly law, were done to provide a tax cut for Elon Musk and Donald Trump and people who can afford to belong to Mar-a-Lago. So first of all, they stole our healthcare to give rich people a tax break. That's first and foremost in all of this. But their argument that this is, I think J.D. Vance said hundreds of billions of dollars, we're doing this because we want hundreds of billions of dollars of healthcare to go to, their words, illegal aliens. Well, here's the reality. You know, I serve on appropriations. I know a thing or two about numbers. By federal law, not a dime can go to an undocumented person. I'm going to use the proper terminology through Medicaid, Medicare, or the Affordable Care Act. Nothing can go directly to someone in that area. The only little bit is in a program that was created under, what was his name, President Ronald Reagan, which is about 1% of the Medicaid budget. So 1% of one of those bigger programs budgets is money that goes to hospitals for if you go there and you don't have health insurance, they don't check your papers or anything else, you get coverage. It can work for you or I if we didn't have health insurance, or someone who may be undocumented, but that's a maybe, possibly, kinda, could happen, not reality. And that's 1%. And if you don't have the money going to hospitals, Pat, here's the important part. What happens is we all pay more for insurance to make up for it.
Exactly. Congressman Mark Buchanan, great to catch up with you. Thank you, sir, very much.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
Good to check in with you. Safe travels around both congressional districts. We'll be back with more. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent weeks, the level of activity from Immigrations and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, has increased quite a bit. There was a raid in Manitowoc at a Walmart parking lot where dairy workers were known to congregate, a series of arrests in Madison, and in Milwaukee, ICE is looking to expand its operations significantly by seeking office space downtown to go along with a new field office on the city's northwest side. This has been concerning for many, and not without reason. A recent large-scale ICE raid in an apartment building in Chicago saw reports of armed federal agents breaking down doors, U.S. citizens detained for hours on end, and children being dragged from their homes in the middle of the night. While the American immigration system has a host of problems, this kind of violent show of force is not an acceptable way to address these problems. And ICE also just received an injection of $45 billion in the One Big Beautiful Bill, so it is imperative for all of us to hold ICE accountable and speak out when things go too far. Right now, things are going way too far.
Find all of Dan's work at the recombobulation area.
Does a 2025 federal law cut funding for some emergency broadcast alerts? Yes. A law signed by President Donald Trump on July 24th rescinds $9 billion, including $1.1 billion from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, or CPB. CPB, which funds NPR, PBS, and affiliates, announced it would shut down. Smaller rural stations rely heavily on CPB for weather and emergency alerts. Wisconsin stations got $8.5 million in 2024. The cuts led to a back and forth between Representative Derek Van Orden and Senator Tammy Baldwin on X over whether emergency broadcast alerts would be affected. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Joanne Krulotz, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning.
A man fell to his death while rock climbing at Devil's Lake State Park over the weekend. Baraboo Area Fire and EMS Assistant Chief Mark Miller says the 84-year-old man, who was part of a rock climbing group, had fallen about 25 feet on Sunday. The victim was still breathing when paramedics first arrived, but died from his injuries before a rope rescue system could be used. A rescue team was able to use the rope system to recover the man's body. Miller says the department typically handles about 5 rescues a year that require the rope system. Several citizens again voiced their objections to a development being built at Story Field at Richland Center City Council meeting. The consensus was that they would like to see it go to referendum to let the people decide. Corporate counsel for the City of Richland Center, Michael Windell, discussed a letter concerning he and Mayor Todd Coppernall received October 3rd for demand for action concerning the emergency meeting for the Story Field development held September 24th. The claimant believed that notice was not given to the residents in a timely fashion, that the council was going to meet to take action on the Story Field development. However, by his own admission, 25 and a half hours notice was given. The state statute calls for 24 hours notice. The claimant states it is not just a legal one, but a moral one. Attorney Windell sent a letter in response which stated, "Many times that as an attorney, I am unqualified to advise on matters of morality. You are right that the citizens deserve fairness, respect, and transparency. And I believe, both in my professional capacity and as a citizen, that it has been offered to them. What the citizenry does not deserve is to have the decisions of their duly elected representatives overturned by a vocal minority who threatened them and their positions rather than attempting to work with them to preserve what they can and or improve on the project by providing constructive input. However, that choice is yours and yours alone. Pursuant to the Common Council's approval of the Storyfield pre-development agreement on September 24th, a development agreement for the 8-duplex, 16-unit, zero-step housing project, the developer has completed a preliminary review and deemed the draft acceptable. The city and the developer will continue to work together to finalize the agreement. Key details of the agreement include recognizing the substantial private investment and infrastructure obligations, and to incentivize this housing project, the city will sell the land for $1. Planning and engineering will begin immediately, with site construction to start by May 15, 2026. The developer must complete the project within 2 years of construction. Start a performance clause requires payment in lieu of taxes if the project is not completed within that time frame. The developer is responsible for constructing all required public infrastructure in compliance with all applicable standards and permits. Three options were considered by the council. Option A, to retain only the stormwater management area of the approximately a half acre with no space for public use. Option B, to retain the stormwater management area plus public use space of approximately an acre. Or option C, to retain the stormwater management area plus public use space of approximately 1.4 acres. The council unanimously approved moving forward with option C. Military veterans deserve great benefits for all that they have done for our country. If you are a veteran, the Richland County Veterans Service Office encourages you to stop by their office and discuss what benefits you are entitled to. Kieran Nock is a Veterans Service Officer.
There's so many changes all the time. Changes to the VA system, to the healthcare system, to income limits, levels, new things that they're adding to presumptive lists, especially now with Iraq and Afghanistan wars that are still coming out, that we just ask people to stop in and just see what's new.
There are benefits programs that help not only veterans. Hugo Santiago is a veterans benefit specialist.
They're federal books. They're not state benefits. They're the federal. And they basically talk about everything from A to Z. They give descriptions on life insurance policies, health care, talks about CHAMP-VA, which is a separate for a dependent. It talks about service-connected disabilities, presumptives. They don't update the books every year, and they just happen to this year. And so we jumped on them, and I got 100 of them in my office. So anybody that has any questions or just wants a really thorough overview to read, to reference, we have them in the office, and they can stop by and pick one up.
That is Karen Nock talking about the 2025 benefit books available and covers what available is to veterans. There is new information since the last time the benefits book was updated.
2022 was the last book. In the last 3 years, there have been additional presumptives added. The VA life insurance policy that they came out with not too long ago. It also talks about the disabled life insurance policy. But yeah, they've definitely improved a lot of the existing policies, implemented new ones, and updated the presumptives list.
If you would like to discuss veterans benefits, you can stop by the Richland County Services Office, located on the second floor of the Richland County Courthouse Building at 181 West Seminary Street in Richland Center. Office hours are 8:30 to 4:30, Monday through Friday. You can also contact the office and set up an appointment, which is recommended by calling 608-647-6101. Southwest Wisconsin Technical College is beginning the search for its next president, and college officials want to hear from the community. Public input is an important part of this process, helping identify the qualities and priorities that matter most in the college's next leader. A community listening session is planned for Friday, October 17th from 11:30 to 12:20 via Zoom. This listening session will directly shape the leadership profile used in recruiting candidates for the presidency of Southwest Tech. It is an opportunity to ensure the college's next president reflects the needs, hopes, and priorities of the communities it serves. Access the Zoom link at swtc.zoom.us/j/9131270-1755. Okooch Mountain Humane Society's Animal House Food Stand will be at the Richland Center Community Center parking lot today from 10 to 2. You've been listening to WRCE's local news on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google Play stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Israel's cabinet convening today for the first of several votes on approving phase one of the peace plan for Gaza. Here's ABC Chief White House Correspondent Mary Bruce.
After 2 years of devastating war, this morning President Trump celebrating a historic step toward peace, telling Fox,
"This is more than Gaza. This is peace in the Middle East, and it's an incredible thing."
Trump announcing on social media what he describes as the first phase of the peace plan, saying Hamas will release all of the hostages very soon. In return, Israel will withdraw its troops to an agreed-upon line.
There were celebrations in both Israel and Gaza today. Two Pennsylvania state troopers are in critical condition after they were shot in an exchange of gunfire with a suspect who was killed. It happened at a sporting goods store. National Guard troops now patrolling in Chicago area, some stationed outside the Broadview Ice Processing Center.